You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
A small number of people infected with HIV have never gotten sick and require no medication. They're being called elite controllers, and they could show the way for new treatments for HIV/AIDS. With me now for the first part of today's Underreported is Dr. Bruce Walker, director of the Partners AIDS Research Center at Massachusetts General Hospital and head of a study for these elite controllers. Welcome to the show.
Thanks very much. Glad to be speaking with you.
Do these people test HIV positive but then never get sick from HIV/AIDS?
Yeah, it's really a remarkable group of people. It's a small percentage of people who become HIV infected. They test positive by the standard antibody tests, but keep the virus at extremely low levels in their body and don't progress on from HIV infection to AIDS. It took us a while to even figure out that these people existed. In the early part of the epidemic, we thought everybody would ultimately get sick and die. And as time went on, it was clear that some people were still doing well. And in fact, the longest survival that I'm aware of is someone who's been infected for 30 years and counting now.
Wow.
Without showing any adverse effects.
Do we have any idea of how many of these elite controllers are known to exist?
Well, it's been hard to get a really firm answer to that question, but we suspect that it's about 1 in 300 people who become infected end up somehow being able to control the virus on their own. And I think what's remarkable about these people is that they are they do to HIV what people typically do with lots of other viruses, which is they keep them in check so that they don't do damage. You know, an analogous situation is with chickenpox, which people are probably familiar with. If you get infected with chickenpox as a child, that virus is with you for the rest of your life, but it doesn't continue to cause disease because it's kept in check. The same thing holds for the virus that causes mono. We think of HIV as a virus that typically causes a pretty aggressive illness, but in fact, there are these rare individuals that seem to be able to coexist with HIV without it doing any damage.
Have you repeated tests on them to make sure that the initial positive was a correct result?
Absolutely, and there's no question that these people actually harbor virus. In fact, we've been able to recover replicating virus from their blood. So it's not that they have some kind of defunct virus that just can't grow. In fact, we can get the virus to grow when we put it under idealized conditions in the laboratory. It's just that somehow it's being kept from growing in their bodies.
Can they pass it on to other people, as other HIV-positive people can?
Yeah, the assumption is that, yes, they can, and certainly we counsel people that fall into this category to practice precautionary measures so as to not transmit it to other people. But in fact, the likelihood of transmission is probably markedly reduced in these individuals based on what we know about HIV in general, and that is that the when the viral load is lower, the likelihood of transmission is less.
Why are they called elite controllers? What's elite about them, and what's controlling about them?
Well, those are both good questions. I think the elite controller name is a somewhat unfortunate name. It was originally coined to mean that these people do something really quite special in terms of being able to control the virus, and that's where the elite name came from. There are other people that control virus, but not quite to this same level, and do well over time. In fact, the amount of virus in the bloodstream after a person becomes infected really predicts, to a large extent, how rapidly one will go on to develop disease. So these are the people that are really at one far end of the spectrum who are able to keep the virus really very, very much in check. They're called controllers because the virus doesn't get out of hand. The question, though, is exactly what it is that's actively happening in these individuals. And the reality is we still don't know exactly.
You can't just look at their blood and look at what's happening with the HIV virus and notice differences?
Yeah, in fact, that's what we're actively doing right now. We have a very large study looking at what we're trying to do is find as many of these people as we possibly can.
Do they tend to turn up in certain populations, or are they spread out across the whole world?
Well, they really spread across the whole world. I'm in South Africa right now at our laboratory here, and in fact, we have some of these individuals that we've identified here in the local Zulu population. We have these people that we've identified in the United States, in China, in Australia, in Europe. So they seem to be fairly consistently at a frequency of about 1 in 300. And I think it's they represent an incredible opportunity for us to try and understand what it is that allows somebody to keep HIV in check. And the reality is, if we could recreate this situation in everybody who's HIV infected, we would really not have an epidemic, because the viral load in these individuals is so low that they're not progressing in terms of their own disease, and the level is so low that the likelihood of transmission is much, much less. It's not zero, but it's so much less that you wouldn't have the rates of spread that you have right now if this were able to be reproduced in the general population of HIV-infected individuals. The evidence thus far really suggests that it is the immune system that's doing a good job, but we have a lot to learn still from these individuals. We also have some evidence that there may be something peculiar about the genetic makeup in these individuals, something inherited that allows them to do a better job at keeping their immune system geared up against HIV.
Aren't there some people, rare people, who seem to be immune to contracting HIV/AIDS in the first place?
There are.
Are they related?
There's not a relationship between the two that we know of. In fact, there are individuals who've been repeatedly exposed to HIV and have never gotten infected, and that has been linked to a genetic factor that it's basically a mutation in the cellular receptor that allows HIV to enter cells. And if people have that particular mutation, they're very unlikely to become HIV infected. So that explains how some people could be heavily exposed to HIV through many, many sexual exposures or prolonged injection drug use and not become infected. But that same mechanism does not explain what's going on with these so-called elite controllers, where, in fact, they clearly are infected. It's just that they're doing something that people generally don't do, which is to keep the virus in check. I would add that where we are with vaccine development right now is that most people in the field believe that it's going to be very, very difficult to make a vaccine that prevents infection altogether. That the likelihood is that the early vaccines that get developed will not entirely prevent infection, but will retard disease progression and keep viral load at very low levels. So what we're trying to do with vaccines right now is basically be able to create this kind of a state where, were somebody to become infected, they would keep the virus in check. And that underscores, I think, again, why it's so critically important to understand what's going on in these people.
My guest is Dr. Bruce Walker, director of the Partners AIDS Research Center at Massachusetts General Hospital, also head of a study of elite controllers. The HIV AIDS virus mutates quite easily. So I'm surprised that people who might very well be able to keep the one form of HIV under in check might also be able to keep all kinds in check.
Well, that's a very good question also, whether this is something that protects them against all viruses or whether they've been fortunate enough to be able to protect themselves against one but might still be vulnerable to another virus. And I think for now I would assume that I would discuss with a patient that they should consider themselves still potentially infectable by other strains of virus, and again really promote the safe sex practices and precautionary measures so as to not become exposed to HIV under those circumstances.
How long after someone is diagnosed as positive do they start taking the drug cocktails? Is it possible that somebody who is an elite controller will show HIV positive, will be put on the cocktail even though he or she doesn't really need it?
Well, it's less likely nowadays for that to happen, but there was a period of time when we were treating very aggressively people who were HIV infected. So even people with very low viral loads were being started on medications. Now, in general, people wait until the viral load is higher and the CD4 count, the measure of one of the body's immune cells, is lower before starting people on therapy.
Would some elite controllers be unaware that they're HIV positive because they've never had any symptoms or gotten sick?
Well, in fact, that is probably the case for many individuals. If you think about there being, say, about 900,000 people who are HIV infected in the U.S., we believe that about two-thirds of those people know that they're infected. So, if the frequency of elite control is about 1 in 300, then there are probably about 2,000 people in the U.S. who know that they're elite controllers because they've been tested and had a viral load test done. Conversely, it means that there are probably about 1,000 people out there who have no idea that they're infected, have never had any symptoms, may never have symptoms. Again, I think that underscores the fact that we have so many people in the United States that are HIV infected and yet haven't been tested, don't know that they're infected, I think is a real problem, because there's so much we can do for people even if they develop progressive disease, if we can diagnose it and treat them.
You said you're looking for more people to participate in your study. How are you getting the word out to people with HIV who haven't gotten sick?
Well, I guess that's why I'm so happy to be speaking to you today. We've really done this by word of mouth, and it's been largely through the lay press that we've been able to get the word out. Most of these people, since they've not been sick, have not been cared for at big academic medical centers because they haven't been part of treatment trials in the past, so they're really not within the system right now. Often they're seen by community physicians that probably are perplexed about how they could possibly have a patient that would not need medications and would have a viral load that is so extremely low. And so, in fact, in the New York area, we've partnered with lots of the local physicians there, with some of the activist groups, to try and get the word out and recruit patients to become part of this study. The study itself involves just providing a blood sample to us, and what we're doing is trying to capitalize on the information that we've learned from the Human Genome Project to basically figure out the genetic basis for people being able to achieve this control. We believe if we can figure that out, we will be able to develop in a much more targeted way, vaccines and new therapies. And so in order to do that, what's required is very large numbers of patients. We're looking to recruit between 1,000 and 2,000 of these individuals. So are really hoping that anybody listening to this program who may know of somebody like this or may themselves fall into this category would get in touch with us and would participate in this large collaborative effort to try and uncover what exactly is going on so that we can hopefully make a real dent in the epidemic.
And they can do that by looking at your website, elitecontrollers.org?
Yeah, they can go to elitecontrollers.org, and that will take them right to a web page that will give them the information about how to contact us. Also, we'll give them a lot of background information about this remarkable fate that some people are able to achieve.
I want to thank you so much for being on Underreported today, Dr. Bruce Walker, Director of the Partners AIDS Research Center at Massachusetts General Hospital and Head of a Study of Elite Controllers.
Thank you very much.